This segment of the Henry Raine Show is brought to you by Bike Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company, bringing Bitcoin to a location near you. Good afternoon and welcome to the Henry Raine Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard immediately after Talking Markets, that show that causes Bitcoin to rally right into my show and put some tremendous, tremendous responsibility on to maintain that rally. And I think I'm slipping at it even as we speak. But don't worry. They'll keep pushing it as best they can in spite of me. So, what is this? Well, it's your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. Not to be confused with all those other shows that are coming on to WWPR, flocking to AM radio. People said AM radio is dead, but that was before the Talking Markets Henry Raine Show Financial Power Block arrived on Monday afternoon, because I was looking at the schedule. There's more shows even than the last time we said there were more shows riding our coattails. And, by the way, that, of course, would be, you know, the theme music.
I love that bass.
That's, of course, Andrew, Andy, artist formerly known as Goldbug One. Goldbug One got stopped because I haven't seen any postings by...
I posted once this weekend.
Oh,
finally, right. Yeah.
Yeah, what has it been, 2.5 months?
It's been about March.
Yeah. Nah, that's what I thought. I checked so that I could hang you out to dry on the air.
Been busy.
Yeah. Well, this is your, as I said, your weekly roundup. So what happened this week? Well, J.P. Morgan suddenly appears to be going all in on crypto.
What?
I never changed what I said. I just regret having said it. I didn't want to be the spokesman against Bitcoin. I don't really give a shit. That's the point, okay? And blockchain is real. It's technology. But Bitcoin is not the same as a fiat currency.
Well, even that may have shifted a little bit once he signed up Coinbase and Genesis as clients of J.P. Morgan. But don't worry. Have no fear. Goldman Sachs, meanwhile, is recycling all their 2017 Bitcoin talking points, while other institutions are accelerating their Bitcoin accumulation. They've been listening to Talking Markets, those nameless institutions out there. And self-proclaimed Satoshi, Dr. Craig Wright.
I thought he wrote Henry Potter.
He probably has done that, too, but don't. You have to wait for the lawsuit against J.K. Rowling for stealing that from him. Craig Wright has had a bad week, and we will probably get to that, too, and all of this.
He just needs to shut his mouth, you know.
Yeah, the stars need to quit shining. The sun needs to quit coming up. Yeah, Craig Wright will keep his mouth shut. Yeah. All right, well, that's all fine and good. Before we go into actual news stories here, everybody wants to know what they miss moments ago when Talking Markets was talking about Bitcoin. What do you see with Bitcoin near term or beyond?
No, I'm bullish beyond.
Bullish.
I'm being good. Beyond bullish.
I like bullish beyond.
Bullish beyond.
No.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and
better than being bullish behind.
Yeah. I'm bullish on Bitcoin now. We're long Bitcoin. We have a couple swing trades out there. And I'm looking for 11.4 to trade. And
11,400.
11,400 to trade initially.
Because Goldman Sachs says 11.4, they're talking about $11.40.
No, they're not.
Well, if you hear them say it.
Okay. I think 16's in the card maybe by the end of the year.
Huh. So.
We'll almost be back to break even, Henry.
Well, actually, you know, I don't know about you, but I took profit on the way. I know you didn't, because I was the contrarian of the group. I took profit, and that now it's come back, and I see all these. I see the world
through a
different light. I see people wanting to hedge, and so I start easing myself back into.
Was it Paul Tudor Jones?
That was a major,
major
benchmark on the road here.
I mean, when he says, "Hey, you know, I'm almost 4%," you know, as a rumor has it.
Who is
between 1 to 2%? Paul Tudor Jones, more than 1%, less than 2%, so somewhere in between of his entire holdings is Bitcoin, which is pretty. That's a big amount.
I'm listening to you.
That's a big amount.
I'm looking at what happened to the news. Oh, there it is. Okay.
So, you know, I think, you know, you're starting to get those mainstream larger players. And, of course, they're already positioned. He's probably positioned at much lower prices than we are. But that'll feed the fuel. And if we ever get an ETF, that infamous ETF that keeps just almost getting there, almost getting over the finish line.
We don't need to speak in the ETF.
You do. You need that ETF.
We just need an IRA you can put Bitcoin in.
No, you can. You have GTBC. You can put that in your IRA.
No, that's not the same. You're paying a 30% premium.
Yeah, whatever. It goes up
100%.
You're still
anyway.
At 60%. Yeah, it goes up 100,000. You're good to go.
All right, let's get into some of this. I tell you, I've got news for you. We only killed 6 minutes before we got to the news. That's a new record. We are so on point. It's reminding me about the old days when we actually had a lot of live shows on this station.
Yes.
I had to get in and out and get everything saved on the little 5-minute news break. But we're getting back there. AM radio is coming back.
It is.
It's going to die.
Making a big cut. Yeah. Well, hey, we got how many new shows this year? And the real estate show, which was definitely the sign that the market was peaking. When you ever get the real estate shows coming out.
When I was looking on the schedule when you were talking on Talking Markets, I didn't see the real estate show, but maybe I just didn't look carefully enough, because I was trying to give attention to your show.
But we do have a new show. I wonder who it is.
I don't know, because that one wasn't listed. That's so new it's not on the schedule. But I did see some other stuff in the evening now, not just the morning financial stuff. This is other stuff. In fact, we were on point.
We were.
I want to stay on point.
And we never diverge, though. No. Never digress.
J.P. Morgan, the largest U.S. bank by assets, has been waging a war of words with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency for years. The Bitcoin price has swung wildly since J.P. Morgan chief executive Jamie Dimon. I'm looking out of my left eye at one part of the screen and my right eye at the script. Called Bitcoin a fraud in September of 2017.
But this is the last time I'm ever going to answer a question about Bitcoin, because I really don't care.
That was one of the other times. He's actually, then that's when they came back later and said this one.
I never changed what I said. I just regret having said it. I didn't want to be the spokesman against Bitcoin. I don't really give a shit. That's the point, okay? And blockchain is real technology.
I was on the 7-second delay there.
Bitcoin is not the same as a fiat currency.
No, it isn't, but it certainly is the same as any other client that you can sign up with $1 billion under management. Anyway, now J.P. Morgan's turbulent relationship with Bitcoin appears to be softening. The bank added its first crypto exchange customers, and Dimon, we knew about the other stuff. We knew they had signed him up. This is the little extra leak. You know, you can't keep anything secret. No, it'll leak out. Dimon reportedly hosted secret meetings with the boss of major Bitcoin and crypto exchange Coinbase. Then you say, well, of course you had to have a meeting. No. We're talking 2018 meetings. We're talking, it did not take Kissinger this long to help Richard Nixon open up China with secret meetings. Earlier in the month, J.P. Morgan signed Coinbase and rival Bitcoin and crypto exchange Gemini after a lengthy vetting period, it was reported by the Wall Street Journal. JP Morgan approved the two Bitcoin exchanges account last month and is already processing transactions. So I wonder if when I make my deposits, it's somehow going through JP Morgan.
Probably.
Because they just, well, who knows? I mean, I just know it gets yanked out of my checking account. Anyway, the Bitcoin cryptocurrency community has complained for years that banks like JP Morgan have denied them services. Meanwhile, it has emerged that J Diamond has been, I wonder what his middle initial is. If you were fast, if your computer was still up, you could.
Yeah, I could look that up.
Anyway, J Diamond, he could be a good talk show host, too, with that name.
Yes, he could. What a great name.
Let me tell you about the latest con on the government's trying to run on you. But don't ask me about how the bank's conning you. Has been hosting secret meetings with Coinbase chief executive Brian Armstrong since 2018. And you can trust that because Jeff Roberts, who is an author, revealed it in his book, Kings of Crypto. Quoting, ironically, Brian Armstrong and Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan, who was the biggest enemy of Bitcoin and has pissed on it for years. It turns out they were having secret meetings in 2018 at J.P. Morgan's headquarters at the Batcave. Roberts told Laura Shin's Unchained podcast while promoting the book, which charts Coinbase's... Yeah, you know, we took a week off, and I can't pronounce any word.
Yeah, right.
The talent of the crypto. Looks like J.P. Morgan's interest in cryptocurrency stocks might not extend all the way to Bitcoin quite yet, just the money that people make from Bitcoin. Quote, we are supportive of cryptocurrencies as long as they're properly controlled and regulated. Oh, that's a nasty language for most Bitcoin advocates. Yeah. J.P. Morgan launched its own answer to Bitcoin last year, JPM Coin, which really isn't an answer. It was supposed to be a coin to enable and speed up global payments. And reduce
did you know he had a twin brother? Jamie Dimon has a twin brother.
Did you hear that? That rumble?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're listening. They don't like. He doesn't like it when you talk about his brother. Is that the good-looking twin brother?
His twin brother was named after his dad. His twin brother got his dad's name, so Jamie's got, you know. The dad gave the wrong, you know, his lineage to the wrong son.
Well,
because nobody knows about Theodore Dimon.
Ted?
Yeah, Teddy Dimon. Everybody knows Jamie Dimon.
Ted, I thought they named a talk after him.
Yeah.
The Ted
Theodore.
Talk.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say, when one sibling has all the good looks, intelligence, and charisma, the other one has to work hard to build a giant bank.
Or he runs, yeah, and he runs his brother's...
All right.
Anyway,
again, quoting Bloomberg editor Joe Weisenthal, I'm sure he would deny it, but it's interesting to me that the CEO of the world's most prominent Bitcoin-related company seems so skeptical of Bitcoin. Oh, I should have not skipped that last paragraph. Meanwhile, some have accused Coinbase's Armstrong of being skeptical of Bitcoin. So that's where that led to the analysis from the Bloomberg editor. He did this comment on Twitter, where all the in-depth analysis happens, by Armstrong suggesting it might not be Bitcoin that pushes the cryptocurrency ecosystem into the mainstream. Okay, so in the previous show...
Now, wait a minute. So is this where the Ethereum comes in?
Yes. And I'll also talk about another big Bitcoin advocate that this ties into, which we haven't discussed. This is all brand new between you and I. But you and I are, I think it's fair to say, are both fans of Cathie Wood as a mutual fund investment manager.
Absolutely.
And
she's
the CEO, CIO of ARK Investments, which specializes in disruptive currency. She was in the GBTC, the Grayscale Bitcoin.
Back when nobody cared about
right,
it.
Back in 2015, made lots of money for all her clients. And
everyone laughed at her.
And everybody laughed at
what
her.
She said when Tesla was like $80, and she said, we have an $800 price target on it.
Yeah, now she's got a $7,000
price target.
I hope it's by this Friday.
That'd be nice.
Anyway, she was talking. She's got a weekly YouTube show. Everybody's got a YouTube show.
Everybody does.
Well, they need to screen those out.
She's better looking than me, I have to say.
I guess it depends on your taste. But yes, to me, she's better looking than you.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
Well, the smart one's always
maybe,
on.
I was going to say, maybe it's you just because she's smart.
There was a study that some psychology professor told me about when he was opining to the class. That they, you know, it was like, oh, you got beauty or you got looks. And he said, no, what they did when they studied is usually the best-looking people are also the smartest people.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
That, I think it's that natural selection thing
that
happens.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
See,
I'd take her out.
You learn about genetics here, not just not just cryptocurrency.
It's just martinis down at the Sangria bar.
Yeah. You know, that's the problem. You've been following the advice down at the tiki bar that you could... It's go ugly early.
Go ugly, yeah. Don't wait till the pickings get real shallow.
just drop your standards right
up
front.
Go right up front and start slamming them. Oh, my God. And I rode my motorcycle. Can you believe that?
Is that our... I wonder if we're interrupted on the... That's not my...
Not my phone either.
Maybe that was the...
Emergency test.
I think it could have been.
All the days to ride the bike.
We should have gotten an audio.
You would think
coming,
so.
Coming over.
Maybe it's coming yet.
Yeah. Well, be careful.
Yeah, yeah.
There's your warning.
So anyways, Kathy Wood, me and Martinez out at the same
time. And she was saying, commenting on the Goldman Sachs report, which actually is our next story, or the next to the next story, that she believes... that the biggest growth in market cap in the crypto space will not be from Bitcoin. She said of the 2,000 things that are out there, most of them will just disappear. But she said the biggest opportunity for capital growth is not going to be Bitcoin.
It's going to be Dragon Coin anyway.
I'm thinking that she probably would be thinking Ethereum. I'm thinking that's what Brian Armstrong is thinking because he's hoping that all these applications get built on Ethereum. Maybe he didn't listen to our show when we talked about how Bitcoin is going to be able to do these smart contracts. But, you know, he's busy with making sure his exchange doesn't crash. And
ripping people off on those big nasty fees.
Collecting the 3%.
That's actually gone
trend.
Down now. I've noticed it went down. At least for me, it's gone down.
Well, I stay on... Well, Kraken has better fees for me if I wanted to... If I was trying to get that 0.01% reduction in my transaction fee, but getting the money into Kraken is a whole problem.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, compared to Coinbase Pro with Coinbase, I mean,
you buy Bitcoin. Bitcoin round trip is like $50 almost, $35, $50.
A whole Bitcoin, you mean?
A whole Bitcoin. If you buy a whole Bitcoin as a trade, it's about $35 round trip, or more actually.
Seems like it's about. Is it 0.25% going in and out?
Something like that. Well, it depends on how your volume.
Yes, I know. Well, I
yeah.
But I think that's generally it. It doesn't come down a whole lot. And I think with Kraken, you can get it down to like 0.1%. But I know the transaction fee at Kraken was about half of what it was on Coinbase Pro. But, again, you got the going in and out with the money. But if you're on Coinbase, you're getting the 3% hit on the purchase. Plus the spread is, $50 or $60,
it
seems like. All right. No, we're not just here to bash Brian Armstrong. Anyway, so that's what Kathy Wood says. She's usually
so which one does she like?
She didn't tell us.
Damn her.
Yeah. I bet they talk about it.
I need to take her out and get her some drinks.
I bet they're talking about it on the Zoom meeting within the company, though.
I bet you they are.
We could hack Zoom.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool to hack Zoom and then play it on the radio? we'll get to work on that. All right. Last J.P. Morgan said... story. Well, this tells you they're really over their crypto bashing because they settled a 2018 lawsuit recently for $2.5 million payout. The result of unclear fees charged when using credit cards for crypto purchases. The court notes that the defendant JP Morgan Chase Bank of North America has agreed to provide a cash settlement amount of an aggregate of $2.5 million in cash. The lawsuit stemmed from when J.P. Morgan Chase quietly altered the terms of use around its credit cards when dealing in crypto asset purchases, failing to alert customers until 10 days after the changes took effect. Terms allegedly charge users the same fees as cash advance activities. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Anyway, legal action took off in 2018 with Brady Tucker, Ryan Hilton, and Stanton Smith press charges against the banking entity. And I've got to think there was a bigger class action suit than this to get $2.5 million. And that, or they were doing a lot of credit card transactions on that. In a motion, if you were doing $2.5 million credit card transactions, they should send you a limo to go drive you around to get whatever you want. Anyway, the motion filed Tuesday's plaintiff said the settlement would result in class members getting around. Yeah, there it is, class. About 95% of the fees they said were unlawfully charged, less a reasonable attorney fees. And the plaintiff's legal action requested compensation for the separately charged fees as $1 million in damages. Don't see anything about any damages, but be happy with what you get after this much time. Well,
I got something from Geico, same type of thing. So, big settlement with Geico. You know, go ahead and sign up. It's $75. I'm like, really?
What was this for?
I don't know. Something with Geico, the big settlement for something.
You're a Geico customer? And
yeah, I'm a Geico customer, yeah.
They overcharged you?
I guess. So if you sign up through this law firm, you can go, I guess you get $75 or something. I'm thinking, yeah, the attorney's probably getting $100.
I got a $5 check in the mail for something, and it said you were a beneficiary of the class action, and if you want to get any more settlements, deposit this check.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that was on the up and up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got a check recently from Wabtec. Spin off of GE.
Yeah?
Yeah, for 23 cents. That was my dividend.
Oh.
Probably 2,000 shares.
You didn't reinvest that? All right, Goldman Sachs. According to a leaked PowerPoint slide, May 27th call discussing the U.S. economic outlook stated that cryptocurrencies are not an asset class. The wording of the slide appears to discourage his clients. This will also take us back to Kathy Wood, too. 7 degrees of separation from Kathy Wood on this show, which appears to discourage his clients from investing in the up-and-coming technology-based asset. This stands in stark contrast to the views of former presidential hopeful Michael Bloomberg. Somehow he got into all this, whose financial reform plan unequivocally called Bitcoin an asset class. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah.
See, he didn't press the right stuff. He should have been
all over that.
Yeah.
Who cares about those women I paid off? Bitcoin's going to be an asset class. That's my plan.
Yeah.
What's your plan?
Or of the hundreds of millions of dollars he spent, he couldn't spend $1 million promoting Bitcoin?
Yeah, really.
All right, so this is what the slide says that Goldman Sachs says about Bitcoin. Cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, are not an asset class because, this is like a Jeopardy show, do not generate cash flow like bonds, do not generate any earnings through exposure to global economic growth, do not provide consistent diversification benefits given their unstable correlations, do not dampen volatility given historical volatility of 76%, do not show evidence of hedging inflation. We believe that a security whose appreciation is primarily dependent upon whether someone else is willing to pay a higher price for it is not a suitable investment for our clients. That's why we are not letting them buy anything.
That's right.
They cannot lose money if they do not buy anything. We also believe that while hedge funds may find trading cryptocurrencies appealing because of their high volatility, that allure does not constitute a viable investment rationale. So as I said, everything they said back in 2017 and everything that Paul Tudor Jones probably said back in 2017, which he now does not say, which I guess he would say it is a hedge for macroeconomic conditions. He's not worried about the volatility. He would agree that you buy it expecting somebody to be willing to pay a higher price for it.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Well, it's any
sounds a lot like gold.
I was going to say, it's any equity. I mean...
Well, okay, let's be a little bit fair. We're always fair, but we're going to be more fair. It does not generate cash flow like bonds. So why does an asset class be like a bond? Because there's lots of asset classes.
Well, European bonds don't generate cash flow either.
Well, commodities, there's a lot of commodities that are asset classes.
Copper,
do not generate any earnings through exposure to global economic growth. Well, ask the people in Venezuela that owns the corner pizza.
That's true.
Parlor. Yeah, that person is saying that.
I'll take
Bitcoin is integral to my growth.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, all that goes on. Bloomberg's plan openly acknowledged cryptocurrency as a major asset class. It also called for a transparent regulatory framework. I thought we had that by now.
Yeah, you would think so.
I mean, we already got anti-money laundering, know your customer stuff. I mean, and if you're not going to have the ETF, what else do you need to know?
Yeah.
Other than you're going to get whipsawed by all the foreign futures exchanges, but if your time horizon is far enough, it probably won't make any difference to you. Other than the soiled underwear that you're going to get sometimes when you look at your assets. Cover your assets. That's what the moral is. Anyway, it goes on. Cryptocurrencies are worth hundreds of billion dollars, et cetera. And Goldman Sachs is a bunch of GS. So that is what that says. So back to Cathie Wood, one of our semi-favorite topics here. She said her crypto specialist gave her the crypto specialist review of the Goldman Sachs report. And she said, really, if you read it carefully, actually everything they say is a reason to buy Bitcoin. Because I guess they actually review what Bitcoin has done. But what about the rest of the institutional investors? Well, Grayscale Investments, that's the GBTC, plus a whole bunch of other stuff that only accredited investors can get into. But any Yahoo can go and buy GBTC over-the-counter exchange-traded fund of Bitcoin as long as you have a brokerage account that will let you do that. Now, TD Ameritrade, bought by Charles Schwab, but everything's still the same right now. Doesn't have any problem with you buying it.
Yeah.
My Merrill Lynch account would not let me buy it. My Merrill Lynch account will not let me buy ARK Investment ETFs.
Really?
Yes. Which is why I don't do a whole lot of high-volume trading on Merrill.
It's interesting because you're talking about Goldman Sachs. Remember Motif Investing, which allows you to make your own. And then you had Folio Investing.
What is that?
Which is like a Motif Investing, but allows you to...
Well, tell them what Motif is.
Okay, so Motif Investing allows you to make
your
own...
You get so many new listeners every week.
That's right. So Motif Investing allowed you to make your own ETF, and then you could just buy a basket of stocks that you like. So you could make up your own, the Henry Raines Top 30. And
you might want to share my wisdom.
Exactly. And you got paid every time somebody bought your ETF. You got paid a dollar. So after making several dollars, seven total... they sold to Folio, which is a similar product. Now, I don't like the website as much, but they sold to Folio. And so all the transfers happened last week. Well, then I get an email. Guess who bought them out?
Charles Schwab?
Goldman Sachs.
Oh.
So they're getting into they're definitely going after that retail investor. I like Goldman Sachs. They're definitely making strides. Apple Card going into retail investor.
Well, let me just say, don't ever take any advice from me on your financial investments. Don't do what I do. Don't. Nothing I do is suitable for any other individual. Now, the Talking Market Show, that is where you should be going for objective advice, but not from me. And it was back in 1998 or 99, I got my Series 7 license. I was actually managing medical practice, but it was okay with the owner that I went and got my license. And back then there used to be, this was the very early days of the Internet, back in 98, 99, 2000, and there was a brokerage that you would have to be compliant with, you know, SEC regulations, but they would let you
trade.
Yeah, well, you know, you were trading through their house, so they could, you could be a broker. You're under them, but you're pretty much independent, other than staying compliant with everything they do. And so I had been very successful helping my coworkers and the owner, and so I figured, well, this seems like something I should be doing. I think I probably told this a long time ago, and then some of the vendors. Or other associated people with the medical practice started becoming my customers, my clients. And this one guy, he had some stock that was trading right around $7, And evidently it was local to Tampa Bay. And he knew the owner. And I'm looking at it, and it's been going sideways at right around $6 for a year, over a year. And it just turned up and was approaching $7. He wanted to buy it. It was one of those things I would have to send a fax.
Oh, yeah.
A fax to the corporate office to get an approval for it, and I got that. But that was a quick turnaround, same day. And back when trading on the same day was fast. And I said, but, man, let's put a stop in at $5. You know, this has been $6 for a year and a half. If it ever goes below, it was early in my charting days, too. And I never got to...
That was really when charting wasn't a big thing.
Well, that was back when you had Prodigy and AOL, and what was the other one? Earthlink or Mindspring? Whatever.
Oh, yeah, Mindspring, yeah.
Those closed systems, and you had to be on their finance site and stuff. Anyway, I said, let's just put a stop in on this. Now, I thought I was, as a good fiduciary, was helping him save his capital that way. And so it starts coming down, and it goes underneath $6, and he calls me up, and I'm like, take the stop off. And I was like, are you sure? I don't, it's not looking good. He goes, no, I called the owner. He told me not to worry about anything. Everything was good at the company. And I went ahead, and I'm like, oh, okay. And I did not say to him, what you're telling me is illegal trading on insider information. And the owner should know better, and he is now, if what you say is true, he would be guilty. And I said, okay, I'll take the stop off. And, of course, it went down to $2.50. And then that guy was mad at me. And it was a couple other situations like that where I gave the right correct advice, and they did the opposite and then blamed me for their loss. And it only took like 5 or 6 people like that. I was like, I don't want to do this. I'd rather just be responsible for myself. And that's why don't ever do anything I say. Other than get your car out in front of me and get in the other lane so I can get going faster. All right. That was a digression. We got to watch out for that 6 o'clock show coming up. We'll get out of here way before that. Anyway, Grayscale Investments has been buying up Bitcoin at a great rate in recent months. You might have heard about this thing called the halving.
Yeah,
it happened back around May 11th or 12th. And since that point, the Grayscale Investment Trust has been accumulating Bitcoin at a rate equivalent to 150% of all new Bitcoin mined. So if there's a new Bitcoin that has been mined since May 11th or 12th, Grayscale is out there buying 1.5 Bitcoin. So if all the mines, if this is true, if this story is true, and it's from Cointelegraph, so you know it's got to be true.
Yeah, it's got to be true.
If all the Bitcoin being mined in China, all the Bitcoin being mined in the U.S. and Europe and Russia, all these places, every day Bitcoin are being mined, now it's only, what, 6 Bitcoin, 6.5 Bitcoin per block or whatever, instead of 12. But still, Grayscale isn't buying the equivalent of all those, maybe not those particular blocks, but all those, plus another 50%. That's a lot of Bitcoin. So anyway, they now have 3.2 billion in assets under management just in the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, because they have all those other products, like the Ethereum product, and they have other Bitcoin products that accredited investors can get
into.
Remember
when the Ethereum product came out?
Yeah, but we couldn't get it.
Well, you couldn't short it either.
Oh, it was like, wasn't that 1,000% premium?
It was like 1,000% premium. I tried to short it. It says, shares not available. Yeah. I'm like, really? Yeah, because everybody and their brother's shorting it.
Yeah, those were the accredited investors, the intelligent ones.
The intelligent ones.
Yeah, experienced, sophisticated. Yeah. Anyway, significantly, more than 90% of new inflows are from institutional players. That's into the investment trust. So that, speaking of... experienced, sophisticated investors, all these hedge funds are buying their exposure through the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, which only trades between 9:30 and 4 o'clock Monday through Friday, and on average usually has a 30% premium. So these sophisticated, sophisticated hedge fund players,
They're probably going to get a discount.
Yeah.
You know they're getting a discount.
Maybe. Grayscale may not be alone in attracting institutional attention. Eric Irvin, the president and CEO of Blockforce Capital, an asset management firm that operates in the crypto space, which you might guess from the name, said, "We are seeing more institutional interest. I think this would be true regardless of the halving or the quantitative easing taking place, even more so given the unprecedented fiscal and monetary global stimulus." And I think that also is another reason I've been going back into it. I think I'm actually doing it as a hedge as opposed to just to get rich, which I hope happens.
Be a nice side note.
There's some more stuff on there about all the different sophisticated, experienced investors running hedge funds that are interested in talking. They get quotes from other fund managers who have no vested interest in hyping the fact that there's institutional investment here. They're all just altruistic people trying to help other people prepare for their financial well-being. Manny Greenspan of Quantum Economics. I see that person. Do you know if that's a male or a female? I'm going to save my ignorance by not knowing, although I could go on Twitter right now and find out very quickly, I think. I believe
it's Manny?
M-A-T-I. Manny Greenspan. Actually, I think it is a guy, but you can, please prove me wrong, because I would like to think I'm taking advice from a beautiful woman rather than just some nerdy, Bitcoin guy. Anyway, I hope that wasn't misogynist. I don't think it's misogynist.
No, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. You're pretty right. Nerdy Bitcoin guys.
I think I was being very unkind to nerdy Bitcoin guys, but there's a reason for that.
He is the epitome of nerdy Bitcoin guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's still a smart guy.
Yeah.
He's a smart guy. No matter what the other stuff, he's a smart guy. Let's see. Binance CEO Zhangping Zhao says there isn't enough supply to go around, even for just one guy, a.k.a. Grayscale. Well, that's why the price goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he should know that.
He had a great call here, though. He said Bitcoin was going to range between $100 and $1 million in 2020. He's been right on the nose.
Manny?
Nailed it. Yeah, Manny. With 99% certainty, between 100 and a million. In 2020.
Well, if you're 99% certain, you're not really not certain.
Yeah, that's right.
Certain is 100%.
100%.
All right, so we're all going to be getting rich because the institutions are involved. But be careful if you're in Russia. Russia's State Duma hates Bitcoin, Ether, Ripple, you name it. That's an editorial statement by Forbes, the magazine. If it's not the Ripple, or I wonder if there even is a Forbes magazine anymore. It's just a website.
Forbes? Yeah, no.
Yeah, I mean, I know the website exists because I pulled this off it. The government posted an updated version of their new draft law, quote, on digital financial assets, that's translated from the Russian, along with its additional documents, significantly changed the way cryptocurrency is regulated in Russia, breaking the rules. No, this is, this is so silly because we've talked about the companies that have set up exchanges with on-site algorithmic trading. If you got money, you can do what you want.
Pretty much.
Anyway, but the good news is you don't have to give up your cryptocurrencies. It's still allowed to possess cryptocurrencies in Russia. They have not designated what asset class it is, or if it is an asset class, but you can have them.
Mm-hmm.
You can own them. You just can't do anything with them. You can't...
Trade them. There are a lot of Russian traders.
You can't trade them. You can't mine them.
What?
Yeah.
There's tons of Russian traders out there that are trading.
I think there's tons of Russian miners, too.
Yeah.
It's sort of cold in Russia. It's a good place to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to Craig Wright and wrap this thing up. An unknown person has tampered, maybe it's the unknown Satoshi, has tampered with some of the Bitcoin addresses that Craig Wright has previously claimed to own in his ongoing legal case against the Kleinman estate. The person has used the private keys for the addresses to sign a message in which he called Wright a liar and a fraud. The message in the 145 different wallet addresses containing Bitcoins mined during the asset's early years was initially brought up earlier today by a cryptocurrency proponent, and it reads, "Craig Stephen Wright is a liar and a fraud. He doesn't have the keys used to sign this message. The Lightning Network is a significant achievement. However, we need to continue work on improving on-chain capacity. Unfortunately, the solution is not just to change a constant in the code or to allow powerful participants to force out others. We are all Satoshi. Well, you had me on the liar and fraud part, then you just sort of lost me. But anyway, the point being that somebody, there is a space on a block where you can put a message. And what's compelling about this is they appear in the list of thousands of others' addresses that Craig Wright claimed as his own in the legal case against the estate of his former partner, Dave Kleiman. Now, Craig Wright, the self-proclaimed Satoshi, had to provide proof of ownership for those addresses by mid-April, but he failed to do so. Well, you know, things happen. There was, like, pandemic. Yeah, there's something good on Netflix. Yeah. The legal case and both sides are fighting for the ownership of 1.1 million bitcoins, allegedly mined by Kleiman and Wright in the early days. I'm thinking he's going to have a hard time getting his hands on those 145 bitcoins. Mostly depends on whether or not Wright can prove he has the keys. The release of this message could seriously rattle his claim that he owns the Bitcoin addresses. Anyway, so that was the only bad news for Craig Wright this week. Craig Wright, the self-proclaimed Satoshi, chief scientist at Enchain, which is not to be confused with, like, 4chan or something, one of those message sites. Although, yeah. Why isn't there, like, isn't there a Bitcoin site like that?
I don't know.
People go to talk about Bitcoin uncensored. Anyway, he lost an appeal against Bitcoin.com founder and Bitcoin Cash evangelist Roger Ver Wright, originally sued Ver for calling him, quote, a fraud and a liar, in a now-deleted YouTube video in 2019. But the lawsuit was eventually dismissed, causing Wright to file an appeal. According to the documents from the Court of Appeal of England and Wales, the appeal has been rejected because, quote, England and Wales is not clearly the most appropriate place to bring this action for defamation. Wright, on the other hand, said, well, he's ruining my reputation within the UK business community. And the court, however, decided Dr. Wright's reputation is just as likely to be affected as in other jurisdictions where the publication took place, as in England and Wales, or even Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Bitcoin is a global currency. All right. And actually, one other Bitcoin pundit, John McAfee. You may have remember him saying that he would eat his private parts on live video if it didn't hit $1 million. He should have the same kind of prediction as Matty Greenspan. He wouldn't have said it.
Yeah.
He said that was total nonsense, adding that people who believe his absurd forecast should wake up. If Bitcoin ever hit $1 million, its market cap would be greater than the GDP of the entire North American continent. Well, so you were a liar then.
Yeah.
And we were all tricked into believing that you thought that for sure. And you lied about it, and you lied about it, and you lied about it.
He was the biggest pumper and dumper ever.
And so why not just say, I was really feeling it. I really thought so. But it wasn't absurd for you to think that it would go to $1 million. It was just absurd for you to think I would eat my penis on live TV. I mean, that would, then you could still be a truth teller.
Yeah.
Which is what he claims to be when he isn't telling you he's a liar. All right, so you rode your motorcycle today.
Yeah.
It was raining recently.
Yeah. But it's not raining now.
Well, and let's do a quick check-in on Bitcoin as we close, see if I was able to maintain the Talking Markets rally, 96.56. Well, it's sustained. I didn't add to it. But
sustaining is good.
All right. Well, we are going to sign off a few minutes early here, make sure that we are all tucked away and ready for whatever that new show is that's going to come on in about 10 minutes, which I would urge you to be sure and listen to, because it's got to be great programming if it's associating itself with the financial power block of WWPR. And, in fact, to counter my horrible talking about nerdy Bitcoin people, I don't know how this makes up for it, but this goes to all the financial women that listen to it.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bight Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bight Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bight Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bight Federal ATM near you. Go to BightFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BightFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Rain Show.